Hump Day edition.
Hump Day.
Of Sean, RJ, and Bobby live from Oxnard, California, the site of Cowboys Training Camp, brought to you by On Time Experts, Rhino Shield, and Yardburn Southern Table and Bar. Peyton Russell is back home in DFW running the show. We got Aiden as well on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And of all the things that I would list that would cost me the least amount of sleep out here, partying, rudder room, staying up late, just having fun with the guys, getting ice cream after dinner, as apparently you guys did yesterday.
How special was that?
Yes, it was wonderful. I hadn't had ice cream all week.
It was really good.
Where did you go?
Just to the lobby. Mm-hmm.
Lobby has ice cream.
They have those little Haagen-Dazs bars with the nuts on them. They're just wonderful.
Yeah. Of all the things.
Hardest thing about those is when you bite it, keeping the chocolate on top.
I've moved on. of all the things that I would think would keep us up, I did not have Tsunami Watch on my list. And that's the reason that we're running on 5 hours of sleep. Oh. I thought that was a siren.
That was Chris Arnold, man. The next door, basically. I thought that was like
Is that alert. San Antonio Radio? Yeah. San Antonio Radio started off with a Chris Arnold ooh-wee. I thought it was going to be a tsunami siren. RJ Choppy first tipped us off to this. What the hell is going on?
There's an earthquake that hit eastern Russia. Okay, so it's Putin's fault.
Okay.
And that created...
Hopefully it took Putin out.
Yeah, that created a large tsunami that spread across the Pacific Ocean.
Now, remind me what a tsunami is. Are we getting a tidal wave?
Yeah, it's like another kind of word for a tidal wave. The ocean rises, and it picks up steam and speed and rises throughout the entire coast. And it, you know,
earthquake?
Yes, an earthquake.
A tsunami is a series of ocean waves caused by a large and sudden displacement of the ocean, typically due to an earthquake, volcanic eruption, or landslide.
Yeah, and maybe like... you know, you get an asteroid that we're going to hit the water, creates a big giant tsunami, right? Tidal wave, right? Well, that's what happened here. Hawaii was the one that was really Japan. Japan and Hawaii were really the ones at risk.
Yeah, I was trying to connect them all, like Russia, Hawaii, Japan,
Aleutian Islands over in Alaska.
Oxnard.
But yeah, it just continues throughout the Pacific. And it was... They were wondering like how big it was going to be, what time it was going to hit. It was supposed to hit around 1 o'clock in the morning, and it was at the start. They said, "Oh, you're worried about a 3 meter tall tsunami," which, as it gets towards shore, grows and just displaces all the water inland. And we are right on the marina, right on the marina.
The first time, as soon as Tim Collins comes through and puts us finally on the water, it'll lead to our death.
It'll lead to our death. And it was, I think it was low tide yesterday, which may have helped.
Sure.
At the time.
No idea.
I don't know.
There's water
I think
there,
it was low tide. I don't know if that would have helped or not. I have no idea. But that was the concern.
This is the sixth largest earthquake on record. This thing was huge. And it kept, like, they initially said 8.3. And it went up to 8.8, which is like, I mean, when we go 8.3 to 8.8, we feel good, but it's not like, it doesn't feel like the biggest difference. This is like, I can't remember what the exact measurement is. Each time it goes up 0.1, it's like doubling or something is what it means. And so, but they said that the seismic measurement that they use in Virginia Tech picked it up. Like, that they measured it and were able to, like, capture the shaking all the way at Virginia Tech.
And then Bobby Belt was kind of my emotional roller coaster throughout the rest of the evening. This is after we got back from team dinner. Bobby just started going in update mode. And just as I was ready to lay down and go to bed comfortably, Bobby starts saying, okay, it's starting to kind of get in our area a little bit more. A little bit more California. It's landing. It's landed. It's coming. And I stayed up for about an hour extra. I'm sending it to my family, which is another question my brother got on me about this morning. He's like, why did you send that to Dad? And I was like,
great question.
It's a good question. I was like, it's international news. I didn't know whether people be getting alert. Like, do you send this to your wife or no? Did you send it to
me? I
don't know.
Kristen was mad at me last night, so I did send it to her. I wanted to kind of like emotionally lean on her a little bit. Like, I might die, just so you know. Now, you two, I don't know why you would have sent it to your dad. I don't know why you would have told Julian. Those two, I can't totally reason.
Well, I think yours is much worse than mine.
Julian was, he FaceTimed me.
Because Julian didn't even know you were in California, and I was like, how does he know about a tsunami watch and alert as you texted us that he was calling you nonstop, upset and crying?
He initially, like, he FaceTimed me. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. He FaceTimed me and said, Dad, do I look high? And I'm like, what? Because I went swimming in a kind of a dirty pool. My eyes are red. Do I look high? I was like, no, bud. Don't. Your eyes look a little red.
He's like, damn it. I want it to be.
And he said, speaking of needing to get high, I need to get to high ground because there's a tsunami coming.
He's like, yo, what are you doing? I was like, yo, we're just, you know, we're watching. We're keeping an eye on this tsunami. And I was like, oh, crap. Why did I say that? And then I knew. And he's like, well, what's that? What's going to happen? And constantly saying, text me, are you going to die?
So what did you say it was? A humongous tidal wave?
I said it's just like, you know, where the ocean rises and the water comes in. He goes, is it dangerous? I go, yeah, you know, you could die from that. he goes, wait, really? Like, seriously? I'm like, yeah, you could. I mean, theoretically. And then he kept calling me back and then saying, I don't want you to die. Are you going to die? Like, he starts crying. He starts crying on the phone. Yeah.
Were you surprised that he cared or got that emotional?
No, yes and no.
I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't care whether you die, but like I've heard his conversations this week.
He gets
I expect him to call back and say, "Can I get the $3 Apple rental?" Right.
So it's all fun and games with him until it gets serious.
Oh,
yeah, that's what it was. So I was happy about it.
You're happy you told him.
Oh, he did this on purpose.
I was happy that he cried. Yeah. Shows how much he cares.
Oh, he needed to feel needed.
Yeah,
and that's why he told him.
Yeah, I feel regret telling. I guess I shouldn't have told my parents, but Amanda, she did not react as much as I wanted. She's like, man, it doesn't sound too bad.
Yeah, Sarah that's what like, she. Whatever, you'll be fine.
That's what she wrote back. Yeah. I guess because I continued with Bobby's updates throughout the evening. Is Bobby first? I was like, stop texting me. You're putting a little bit of worry into me. And Bobby's like, I'll set the alarms at midnight. Choppy's like, I'll set an alarm for midnight. You know, and I'm like, I'm going to sleep. Like, here's my room number. Knock if, you know, we're drowning. And then Bobby kind of eased the tension throughout the evening where he's like, I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, the Los Angeles County had sent out an alert on Twitter that I saw retweeted into my timeline. And it basically was just like, yeah, it's coming. We will be hit by the tsunami, but where we're at, it's going to be basically a 1 foot wave. So it'll be, they said that it was something that they're like, it's dangerous to be in the water. They want people watching out. They're like, if you're in the water, get off the water. If you're in the marina, get out of the marina. But if you're on land, you should be fine. The North Coast here in California, they got a warning. So like from, I don't know where that area is. If you go up, like, it's like, it looks like it's the last maybe.
NorCal.
Is that Sacramento?
No, it's even further north.
Is that going to be our one tolo in Sacramento? We're going to lose a meter out there?
No. That's inland. This is north of, like, San Fran.
This looks like it's, like, the last 100 miles of the California coast, basically. Uh-huh. And so all the way up to Oregon. And that was the only thing that was under the warning. So that was where it was expected they might catch, like, a significant amount.
And that's the thing with me. That's what, you know, we see these tornado. When we get a nadir warning.
Don't call it that.
Warning. That's where you worry. A watch. That doesn't even phase you. Watches and warnings. Watches don't phase you.
We never got a warning, and it seemed to phase you.
Well, it's because I don't know what the tsunami.
We're not used to tsunami. We don't have tsunami experience.
Yeah, I don't know.
We have tornado experience.
Yeah, I don't know what the rules are.
Tsunami. I was like, could I sit here and die from a tsunami in California?
Tsunami.
Like, think of all the freaking things. I come out here to Cowboys camp, and a tsunami takes me out.
Yeah.
You know,
hasn't an earthquake hit out here before?
Yes, during camp twice.
I didn't feel it. I mean,
I didn't feel it either.
Yeah, you may have told me about it.
I knew one that happened,
and then I was asking myself stupid questions like, "All right, am I good on the third floor?" Like, because the only thing I was thinking about is I'm going to wake up this morning, I'm going to open the curtains, and I'm just going to see if the parking lot is flooded.
Yeah,
that's it. And then I was like, "Do I have enough leftovers in the fridge? I'm good there, as long as the electricity." Worked, which probably wouldn't happen. But if I had the TV, I was all fine with being in my room for the next 2 days. I was hoping practice got canceled, show got canceled, and we could just have fun in the hotel together.
Sure.
Because it's connected. I have enough drinks for everybody, but if there's no electricity...
We still do?
Well, based upon some of the softies here, yeah, we do. Ooh. I got a bunch of seltzers and some red wine left over.
Based on the softies here who aren't drinking my seltzer and red wine, they're going for the hard liquor. we drink all your hard
I'm
liquor.
I'm out of food.
There's one bottle. One bottle. There's still a half bottle left of the two bottles, and you only drank one of the nights, so shut up. But I was like,
I drink two nights,
am though. I good... No, of the bottle nights.
Oh, yeah.
Am I good on the third floor? Is RJ more? Is he more susceptible on the second floor? If you're on the first floor, are you really freaking out?
Yeah,
that's what I was wondering.
Yeah,
and again, that's the reverse.
You're talking like you know, but you have no idea.
What you're cooked on the first floor?
Are you? I mean, off a meter? What's a meter? I don't even know what a meter is of a wave.
Backed up to the marina, you might be though, because we're right on the water here, and so. That coming in would not be great. This is reverse thinking, though, because if we were here and a tornado hit, we'd be trying to get down to the first floor.
Right.
And they'd be the ones that are good. Now we're trying to go up here. But this actually, the tsunami didn't, like, that wasn't bugging me, really. Now what's in my head and got me paranoid is, oh, yeah, there are earthquakes that could happen out here.
Yeah.
And so now I'm sitting here and, like, just in the middle of us talking, I was sitting here going, like,
man,
if this thing started shaking, would that thing right behind you, that big-ass elevator, would that thing fall back on us?
Look, earthquake.
Pretty dramatic there, Nick.
Yeah. Good job, Pepe. I'm going to knock on wood here. Earthquake is the least. It's the weakest. I haven't seen the Russia footage.
They were shaking like crazy.
Yeah,
7 minutes apparently.
I never worry about the earthquake. I'm terrified of a tornado.
It's the opening in the ground for me.
Tsunami unknown. Earthquake. I'm like meh, whatever.
I would.
Little rattle, little shake, rattle, roll. It's an Elvis song.
I would be less worried about the earthquake, except here where we have temporary structures that we're all sitting around that are collapsible.
Yes, yeah,
that's true.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, and then like you know, obviously when the earth opens and you fall through it, that's another problem.
Yeah, that's a big problem. I hadn't thought about that. And then nice sweet Pepe, our boy back in studio, texted us this morning, and he goes, "Hey, I saw this alert. Are you guys good?" And Bobby has to be a jerk right off the jump and go, "No, we're dead." And I was like, "Here, he's checking on us. You know, he was worried a little bit." Peyton, take us through your tsunami watch.
Well, because I had kept up with it a little bit last night, but I guess I didn't pay attention in earthquake class, you know, in college or whatever. But I didn't realize that the earthquake in Russia could make its way over to California coast. So I knew Hawaii was in trouble, but I was like, no way it really gets to, you know, heavily into California coast. And I woke up this morning saying tsunami hit landfall in Los Angeles. And I was like, oh my God, are these guys in serious trouble? But, you know, seems like you guys are safe right now.
He texted us at 3:19 Pacific.
Uh-huh.
The reason why I said no, we died is because I was on the phone talking to him at 3:16. He knew we were fine.
Well, it wasn't like, are y'all still alive?
That's
it was
why
like,
he got the sarcastic reply.
How are you talking to him at 3:16?
Because I called to talk through the Steven audio with him.
Peyton.
No, okay. The y'all good wasn't like, are y'all alive? It was like, is everything good out there? Like, you know, there's no like, there's no serious.
But Bobby
precaution.
Just talked to you 3 minutes before, no?
Well, okay, then take Bobby out. But you guys are, you, Sean and RJ are both in the group text. So I should have said,
I would have mentioned
Sean, RJ,
you
guys fine? I didn't ask if you guys were alive.
Oh, by the way, Sean's not going to make the show
it's
today.
It's the Bobby show today, just so you know.
We'll let you know that at 3:48.
877-881-1053. I guess the earthquake that may have hit here rattled this bucket over. Now it's the bucket on my right that was knocked over.
Yeah, that's people screwing with us now.
That's what I thought. Ruben said no. I think that's Brian brought us knocking over the bucket after the rattlesnake or raccoon yesterday, and there's a couple of bottles on the ground. I think that's intentional, Rubes. I think it is.
I don't think so, because I was the last person out.
It could have been Steven coming over here, and just like that's where Dawson was sitting. He was just like...
kicked it over. Yeah. Wait, so did brought us into his podcast here yesterday?
No, there's no practice yesterday. So
yeah, but that doesn't mean. I mean,
he was out there.
I know Vach was on a plane and there wasn't practice, so I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't do it.
What, Peyton?
He was out there. He was in a tent somewhere out there because Eric and Zach recorded "Love at the Star."
Okay, so they recorded that at the start. That was intentional because when they got back to the parking lot, Broadus goes, "I hope the raccoon gets you tomorrow." So he had a little reference for
well, he's
it.
He's had some attitude. The very little bit I've seen him,
this week. He does. I can't wait to ceasefire's over. At least I'm directing it right at Brian Broadus. I'm good with Zach and Eric, but what Broadus pulled with the team dinner last night, I will admit. When they got back to the hotel and I had heard what Broadus had said about the team dinner, I started with him. I was on the balcony and he was down there and they were looking at me and I was like, "Can you see up here, old man?" Like I was waving. I was like, "Can you see me, old man?" And I wanted to fire like the little first shot. And he goes, "I hope the raccoon takes you out tomorrow morning."
You know, when I got here, the headphone volume was turned up to 3 p.m.
3 p.m.?
It's supposed to be at 6 p.m. That's zero. Uh-huh. He had it all the way to 3. That was on purpose. Nobody puts their headphones that loud. Nobody.
877-881-1053 is the way to hit us up on the Frank LaFranco Injury Attorney text line. We're brought to you by Greystone Roofing and Reliant AC. Let's get to the interview everyone is talking about. Gavin Dawson and the G-Bag Nation versus Stephen Jones. We're going to relive the fireworks here from Oxnard next. Good morning, Metroplex Hump Day edition of Sean and RJ, along with our Cowboys insider Bobby Belt, on your home of the Dallas Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. And yesterday, the interview that caught fire and went pretty viral on all the socials was Stephen Jones sitting down in the Wild Fork Foods hot seat with the G-Bag Nation. And Bobby started texting us. He begged Choppy and I to listen to this before dinner last night. We both refused, and Rowdy Tellez was in my mind because I said I did not listen to the Rowdy Tellez interview, and it paid off live on the air. It gave me a top five moment in my time in history here at the radio station. Will this do the same? So, Bobby, you go ahead and set it up because you suggested just playing this thing from the beginning.
Yeah, this will – I don't anticipate this will give you Rowdy Tellez feelings. This is more – confrontational, intense. The other one was just blind and like, "Hey, chubby," like that was just weird. that was very uncomfortable. This one is fully aware of the discomfort and going, "Well, let's keep doing this. Let's lean in. Let's see if we can get a little more here." So, this was Stephen Jones sitting down with them yesterday, and it was in the middle of a segment. And so they come and sit down, and Dawson is just like, "All right, we got time. Let's go." And Gavin just basically launches in right from the jump into all the questions he has for Stephen Jones about the offseason.
It's been very busy, and there's a lot of stuff to keep track of. But, you know, what I really wanted to ask you is, have agents figured out your guy's pattern, and are they using it against you?
I don't think so. I mean, I feel comfortable. I mean, we've got Dak signed. We got CD signed. We got Jake Ferguson signed early. We got Osa signed at, you know, every timing's different, every negotiation's different.
Well, I guess what I was...
So I don't think there's necessarily a, any type of thing to figure out here.
Okay, so from
all right,
my
stop
perspective...
It. Yeah, you got them signed, but the criticism would be with Dak and Lamb, you did it late and you cost yourself money. Osa, okay, fine, different story. People would argue Ferguson didn't even deserve that money yet, so you were going to get him signed earlier. Although, as you brought up with Jake yesterday, Bobby, Jake could have bet on himself and waited, but like, it's not as simple, in my opinion, of just saying, "Yeah, we got Dak and Lamb signed." What do you mean? Yeah, you got them signed later at the top of the market. There's still no one who makes more money in the National Football League than Dak Prescott.
And I think what he gets into more here and what they keep continuing to say, the implication or the insinuation is we would get some of these things done earlier. There are people involved who don't want to get them done early, really. Like they're not interested in doing anything other than the only way I'll sign right now is resetting the market and being way above. Yeah. That's the only deal I'll take right now.
And I obviously, the other thing is, you know, they don't feel like it costs them money by waiting because of their philosophy on contracts. And if they give that away and come out and say it, they're giving away what they consider to be a trade secret.
All right, let's continue.
Okay, so from my perspective, if you want to go early and you take less than what you would get in free agency, you guys are very willing to do those deals. Mm-hmm. And it's been that way for a while.
Sure.
But if it's a really great player and they want to wait, I don't think they have any fear that you guys will actually move on.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's to each his own. And certainly, like I said, we've had two, if you will, great players, you know, getting paid highest at their position when we did the deal, and Dak and CD, and we decided we wanted to do deals with both of them. And then obviously we're in the middle of another, you know, high-profile player, but, you know, each one of them's different in my mind.
Okay. All right. Case by case basis. I can definitely understand that. I, you know, from poker, you know, and I'm a poker player. If the table knows your pattern, it's time to change the pattern.
Yeah. You and I'll just have to agree to disagree. I don't think there's a pattern here. How many ways do you want me to say it?
Well, I guess three is good enough.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. So then my next question.
Nice. Dawson's right. Like I think they do, and we've talked about this. It doesn't seem like Jerry wants to ever. They're scared to walk away from great players.
Well, yeah, I think the suggestion is like right now, sitting here, I feel like the Cowboys will cave if it comes. They're not going to play a game without Micah Parsons. They'll cave to that.
Yeah, and I don't think that was.
And they weren't going to start the season without their quarterback either.
I don't think Dawson's point was the one you're making, though, of just like, hey, you shouldn't be afraid to walk away from a great player. Just like what I think Dawson was just like, it's a pointless standoff to wait because they don't think they think your bluffs aren't serious.
Yeah, you're not going to do another Emmitt Smith season.
Yeah, I don't think Dawson's arguing against letting any of these guys go. I think he's just saying like just get it done instead of like standing off.
So you're not going to win.
Yeah,
but Dawson is kind of preaching to him. I feel like he's now. I know the fans love this, and I know Steven is the bad guy, and Dawson, as you said, Bobby Baby with the tsunami line of the night, as he said, Dawson doesn't have to worry about drowning because. He'll be carried on the Tolo's shoulders from this interview. But I can see why, I can see why Steven's starting to get a little bit defensive because Dawson kind of lecturing him a little bit. This is how you need to do it. This is how you should be doing it.
I'm a poker player. I got these underground rooms and son of hell.
Have you been invited to poker night in Sunnyvale yet?
Does Dawson invite?
I don't know.
Those two things don't go in the same sentence.
Dawson invited me to Habit Burger out here one year.
He did?
Yeah. He was like, I'm going to lunch. You want to go? I was like, yeah, let's go.
Oh.
That was the only time.
He's like, show me how to set up a podcast, Bobby. All right, let's continue. Stephen Jones with the GPAC Nation.
My next question, just team building wise, is why not? I mean, with all the good players on the team, why not pick one of these years to say, let's throw another $30 million at this thing and shore up all of our weaknesses and really go for it?
Right.
I think the teams in today's NFL that are winning it don't have the holes that maybe they did in the 2000s. Like, there were a bunch of wild card teams getting it done, but I don't think wild card teams are getting it done anymore, Steven.
Sure. I think, the question is, when you talk about $20 or $30 million, the question is, does it go to Jake Ferguson and any other guys that we want to sign versus what might be available out there? And, and we make a decision that we want to go internally versus externally. That's a decision that we have to make. And, at the end of the day, over the course of a 5-year period, every team that spends to the cap like we do is going to spend the same amount of money.
Yeah.
Can you push more into 1 year? And leverage out and push out, of course you can. But over the course of a 5-year period, every team, there's a salary cap, and every team's going to spend to it.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. I think Philadelphia is really an outlier, so I wouldn't ask you to do something like that. But are you guys resistant to a yo-yo of, like, we're going to spend a bunch here, we're going to clear dead money and get a good draft pick? Mm-hmm. Does that strategy not make sense?
Well, it can in the right situation. I just think every – I don't think there's very many teams out there that are one player away. And, I think you have to manage your team. You have to strategize on what you want to put together. And, we feel like we've checked a lot of boxes in terms of internally thinking that we have, filled the holes that we need to fill to be a great football team.
Okay. All right, stop it there for a sec, Pepe. You want to comment on the management and the funny money on whether it goes to re-signing your own? I think Dawson's asking for a big big free agent splurge. I do want to, though, take 1 second and remind myself, all of us, and the listeners, I'm happy. Like, I feel good about the Dallas Cowboys offseason. I feel like we need to remind people of that. We need to refresh them of this time last year with the feeling versus right now. I'm optimistic and excited. I don't think they're going to go in the Super Bowl, and I don't think they're going to be in the Super Bowl. But, like, I'm excited once again, and maybe it's just football coming around, or, you know, the Dallas Cowboy heroin in the bloodstream. I give them a thumbs up for the offseason the way I feel about the squad right now, and I think we forget that just because of all the same negative storylines.
Yeah, and I think that what Dawson's getting at is, yes, you did have a better offseason. You went and got George Pickens, which is a type of move we've asked for a long time.
Yep.
You did it coming off of what felt like a bad football team, though. Like why in these other years when you were 12-5, why didn't the George Pickens move come then? Like I think he's more just talking about in those years, why, when you've been competitive and been close, why haven't you just made that big move?
Right.
And just said, we'll deal with the financial repercussions after that.
Right. All right, let's continue. Stephen Jones yesterday, Wild Fork Foods hot seat with G-Bag.
Okay, and I appreciate you answering these questions. I'm not trying to ambush you.
You're not.
Okay, so like during the season or around the calendar, we'll be having these conversations, and, you know, there's these questions that pop up, and I feel like, to be fair to you, I should give you a chance to answer the questions here on the show.
Sure.
Because I don't want to be, you know, talking bad about you behind your back and then not. But another thing
you
I had.
Do that, would you?
No. Maybe in the name of entertainment.
I'm disappointed.
Hey, and I need to give you and Jerry your props for letting us cook.
Yes.
You know, it's rare to find a flagship radio station that can share honest opinions as much as you guys give us the freedom to at the fans.
Sure,
so,
sure.
So thank you for that. Okay, so then my third question here is, I have a theory that maybe you guys drag out the deals to get engagement from the media. Well, and it's like the best $2 million you can spend having to give Dak a few more.
Well, let's just start off. We don't agree on that. We don't drag deals out. We do deals when there's an opportunity to do a deal. And certainly no one knows what goes on internally with a particular negotiation. But, you know, sometimes agents and players aren't ready to pull the trigger till they see other cards play. Mm-hmm. And what we're not going to do is go out and, you know, do something that's not responsible in terms of, you know, just in the name of getting a deal done 1 month earlier. Go do it and pay the guy another $5 million of your cap space.
Yeah.
And especially when you're dealing, in our particular case, you know, internally with guys that are homegrown here and we feel like they want to be here. I always felt like Dak wanted to be here. I always felt like CD wanted to be here.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess there's so much information that's out there.
All right,
Adam
stop.
Schefter would.
That's good. That's really good. And I listened to this yesterday, and I think I'm going to – this is dangerous because Dawson's the hero and celebrating G-Bag right now. And I think I'm going to take the Cowboys' side right now, like on this Micah deal, and maybe some of the other ones. I think they're trying to tell us that Micah is asking for like $46, $47 million. I think that's what they're trying to tell us. And here's my suggestion to Steven and Jerry – although this probably wouldn't help the negotiations, they should leak this if it's the case. They should leak it if Lamb did it. They should leak it if Micah is doing it, because they just get crushed and they get murdered in the court of public opinion about the negotiation. And I think he's trying to tell us this isn't 41 a year. This is not just as simple as the TJ Watt deal. We may end up at 42 and everyone would say, why'd you wait so long? I'm just convinced that they're asking for like 46, 47, or even 50.
Or a reset of the guarantees or whatever.
And if that's the case, I support Jerry and Steven in that.
Yeah, I thought that Dawson asked fair questions, and I thought Steven answered him well. Like, he's right. No team in the NFL is – actually, he's wrong. Every team in the NFL is one player away. The player is Patrick Mahomes. They're all one player away. Other than that, there is no such thing as being one player away that isn't a quarterback, in my opinion, right? Now, you can piece units together, but that's not what we're trying to do here. this is there's nothing wrong. I don't think there's anything wrong with their approach. Bobby's detailed the approach. I don't think there's anything wrong with the Cowboys not saying it like that because they don't want to give away their philosophies. I get that. But yeah, if Mike is asking for a complete $5 million jump, you know, would it help them to say it? I mean, probably not, right?
It's like
it's one of those things where neither side wants to tip their hand. And they're both, like, the Cowboys really are the ones that are taking the PR.
And Steven gets into that a little bit. Like, he says, like, if we've signed guys to deals, like, we want, like, he kind of references it in the course of talking to Dawson.
We'll continue with it. Gavin Dawson and the G-Bag Nation making all the headlines, throwing the shots at Steven Jones and the Dallas Cowboys. What happened at team dinner last night? And why can't the Rangers beat the Angels next?
3-1 the count. Here's the pitch. And it's floated out into right field. A long run for Adolis to his left. It falls for the base hit. Neto is in to score. Adolis throwing in behind the runner. The ball off the glove of Duran. Racing down the line. Sean Owell, he scores as well. Base knocked to right for Joe Adell. Didn't hit it all that hard. Just flared it into shallow right. And two end up scoring to make it 2-0.
There's some craziness in this game last night. The Rangers took the lead with some craziness, but they lose again to the Angels here in California.
California.
8-5 on the Fan.
Yeah, you had a little benches clearing. A little benches clearing last night. Now, it's typical baseball benches. Hold me back. Hold me back.
Yeah.
We're going to come out. Oh, you gonna talk about my guy? Go. I'm going to talk about your guy. Bochy leading the charge out there, going, you know, walking out to the because after Trout gets hit on the hand, looked like on the hand, but John Gray just didn't have it. That was the difference in this game, and he had been. And I went and looked. Did his velocity dip at all yet? And then, no, it actually went up. His fastball was the fastest in any game that it had been on average.
Which sometimes can indicate a problem. It can sometimes indicate you're overthrowing.
But
you're overcompensating for something. You're really trying to like ratchet it up.
Could be that. You could lose movement because you're throwing it harder. The ball doesn't move as much. Or like, you know, a certain pitch might not move as much because it doesn't have time to move. Any of those things could be a factor. But this was his first bad game in his three appearances that he's had since coming off the injured list.
The Rangers had 14 hits in this game. The Angels only had 6. Both teams committed 2 errors. They got 10 hits off Kikuchi. They beat up Kikuchi.
Speaking
of big guys.
Yes, but they still end up losing as John Gray, as RJ alluded to, gives up 4 earned.
Yeah, the Angels have been a pain this year for Texas. That's they've had a few different instances. In fact, over the last, this is now 3 of their losses this month, like half of their losses are to the Angels, I think. And so, I mean, they just haven't been able to take advantage of things nearly as often with the Angels as they have against some of the other teams that are around them or a little bit below. They've had issues with the A's. They've had issues with the Angels at times. But, you know, I mean, it's good. You got Higashioka back in there as a – I'm not going to use Gavin Dawson's nickname, although I'd really like to right now, but Higashioka getting the 2 home runs. And, you know, it's still moving in a positive direction, but it's a little bit of water on our excitement, just kind of cooling it off.
877-881-1053. Nate Evaldi will attempt to reignite. Don't be using water analogies under Tsunami Watch, Bobby. And Nate Evaldi will be back on the mound. The trade deadline is tomorrow. That is obviously exciting. And update us on some of the names with Bednar and Helsley.
Yeah, so these are a couple different names that we've talked about. Bednar was the one you really wanted, right, Chop? The reliever from
one
the Pirates.
One of the guys, yep.
Led the NL in saves a couple years ago. So there were 2 reports yesterday. You had one from Noah Hiles of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and he reported that Pirates GM Ben Sherrington is looking to sell high on closer David Bednar. And so he is fielding inquiries from the Yankees, Dodgers, Phillies, Cubs, and then as well as the Tigers and the Rangers. So Bednar is a guy who has been a really good pitcher. The issue is just if they've got a number of suitors and he has a year of arbitration left and the Pirates are intent on, like, we're milking every bit of this and almost like, hey, what's your bid? Okay, we're going over here. Who wants to beat this? Mm-hmm. That sounds like you may still get him, but you're going to have to pay the absolute premium to get Bednar because of just how many suitors there are.
Yeah, when you get to this point, in the 23 season, they got Chapman really, really early, and sometimes you overpay to get guys really early. And there's like a meaty part of the trade deadline where you might be able to get a decent deal because teams are like, look, I want to make sure I get top value. Mm-hmm. And then you get towards the end and it's like, all right, now are we overpaying? Or are you playing the cat and mouse game where the team that's selling is like, well, I got to get something. So it's like, if you want to make sure you get the guy, do you wait till the 11th hour or do you kind of do it at like in the 10 o'clock hour, if you will, which is kind of where they are now. And now we get to tomorrow afternoon and we will see what this team winds up doing. But there's a handful of relievers out there. And that the good thing about relievers is generally they're not the most expensive pieces that you can get.
Mark Feinstein from MLB.com, he had said that the Rangers are also one of a handful of teams that are interested in and in on Ryan Helsley from the Cardinals, who is somebody we've talked about. Ryan Helsley, sort of a similar situation where it sounds like there are a bunch of teams that are in on him, and the team is going to try and leverage offers. The thing that will probably make him cost a little bit less, I would assume, he's a rental. He has no more control left after this year, so you're buying essentially 2 months, which is something the Rangers have shown a willingness to do in the past. They did it with Aroldis. But, I mean, we'll see if they end up targeting one of these guys specifically, or they could do both of them. I mean, that's something that they did at the 2011 deadline. They went out and got Koji Uehara and Mike Adams at the deadline, and those were the two best relievers available on the market.
And a manager is warning us to be careful what rumors you hear and see. Alex Cora in Boston was on ESPN's baseball coverage, and he came out the other day and said while he was at ESPN, certain insiders and reporters over there made up rumors and trade speculation.
Yeah, it was kind of a, you know what, the green room. You know, we always say in the green room, what do they say? They say, you take this take, I'll take this take.
Yeah.
No, this was different. This was like, they would just say, hey, yeah, this guy, they're interested in a trade for this player. This team is interested in moving that player. I don't know what where they're getting. Like, obviously, are they like completely even making up these guys are on the market,
right?
Or are these guys connected to these teams and they're just saying that to create content?
I've heard it like secondhand, so I don't want to out anything because it's unsubstantiated. So I won't say who, but there's one individual in the NFL nationally that I know the reputation is, like, I've just heard from people, I know he has talked about making stuff up because he needed something. And so I generally have a grain of salt with that individual's takes. But again, it's nothing I know firsthand, and so I won't say it. But so this doesn't totally surprise me. And, I mean, I just finished watching The Wire over again.
Oh, well.
And Season 5, which features Scott, the writer at the Baltimore Sun, who just, he feels all of this pressure to come up with something and all of this, you know, he's trying to advance his career. And so, after a while, he just starts making up a little thing here and a little thing here. And then, in the end, he's, like, making up whole things and getting himself into trouble. Actually, it's a sad ending that he doesn't get in as much trouble as he should have. But this doesn't surprise me, I guess, that there are people who do this.
All right, so this is what is going down on the home of the Rangers here on Sean and RJ. We are live from Oxnard, California. Cowboys training camp brought to you by Greystone Roofing. They got you covered when the hits keep coming. And Treeline by Hillwood, a stunning new master plan community in Justin, Texas. We had another team dinner last night. And we went to the Italian place that we usually go to, Cafe Fiori. And
Tolo.
Yeah.
That's right. We've seen a number of Tolos.
I know.
When we went to Duke's the other night, we were at the bar, and I was standing there waiting for a beer, and he goes, Tolo? It was like the language. The language to speak. And Zach Wolchuk basically ate dinner up at the bar with this guy and his lovely wife throughout the evening. We basically watched practice the other day with... I don't know how much to say about his youth baseball role.
It's my son's teammate. It's teammate's dad.
Yeah.
We talked about him on the air a couple months ago. That's the guy I ran into at Billy Bob's when I went to the Jelly Roll concert.
Yeah.
So.
Awesome dude.
Yeah, great dude.
Great conversation. And then yesterday, a guy just comes up. He goes, I know who you guys are. And fist pumps. And,
all around. Fist bumps all around.
And then someone DM'd me saying, come outside Cafe Fiori. I'm hanging out here. So
that sounds like a fight threat.
Yeah,
that
it
does sound like a fight threat.
And then Ruben, when they went to the bar after dinner, apparently there was another Tolo in there. I think the one who got engaged on the beach.
Yeah, Chase.
Chase.
He was that last night. I saw a text from him when I woke up. He had texted, like, you coming out? I was like, I was asleep already.
Yeah.
Just a couple calls.
No, you were on Tsunami Watch.
Tsunami Watch is key.
So we went to dinner. It was me, Choppy, Bobby. The Nosebleeds are just trying to eat dinner every single night. They're trying to socialize. Ruben is always in, and Carter has been putting up a very strong representation as well.
Didn't expect that from Carter. Didn't always know whether he was going to be in or out.
Yeah.
You know, which crew he's rolling with, because he's not working around his running schedule, too.
Resume.
Huh?
After the show, he's putting up a big, strong resume.
Yeah. He's got to work around his running schedule. I mean, he's giving Ruben cramps over here.
Yeah.
Taking him out on 3-mile jogs.
So should I go into the cheap tip that I left, or Brian brought us?
Or you guys not remembering your intern.
That's right.
To the point that Choppy is fighting over details about, like, how do you know this thing about me? Because I was your intern.
No.
We'll get to that one in a little bit. So brought us. So this is where we had a back room a couple years ago, and one year they split the bills. We need the bills split because company expenses. And last year, or whenever we did it last, I think it was last year, they would not split them. They'd only do it like 2 or 3 ways. So yeah. Kevin Hagelin did all the individual math, and Brian Broadus paid for it, and everyone sent him back the money. Well, Broadus did not want to do that again. And apparently he bailed on dinner. This time, though, it was like 7 of us. That was like 14, 15 of us.
Yeah.
And still, all the appetizers you ordered that night.
It's still a very lame excuse.
Yeah.
Just go.
I always know that if I did a show full-time with Bassick, I would fight Mike and we'd kill each other. I'm starting to feel the same about Broadus. He likes to sharpen his knife and get these little small digs in, and I think he doesn't either expect you to say something back or won't think you'll say anything back. And I'm always going to have something to say back to him. And I was like, wow, like, and Zach was freaking out over this. Zach's like, how are we going to pay? Like, are they going to split the bills? And I was like, call during your commercial break. Like, I'm not your concierge, all right? I'm trying to set up a place that is affordable and we can all go to. And it's always just got to be another problem and another issue. You know what this mofo did? Mm-hmm. He called in a commercial break. He called the restaurant to ask if they would split the checks during a GBAG commercial break. They said, no, we won't split it as much as you like. I said, we'll be fine. I'll pay for it. You guys Venmo me. Now,
there's another thing there. You got to get a credit card.
I mean, I have a credit card.
Oh.
Well, how'd you think I paid?
I thought you paid with a debit card.
No, I have a credit card.
Okay. Yeah. It looked like the same debit card that I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a Bank of America has like a red debit and a red bank card.
Ah, okay.
But I do need a better credit card. I'm not getting the returns that I should based upon the money I spend.
That's
no, it's not. Amanda has the debit card. So Broadus did not come for that reason, but I thought the food was pretty good. It was a good atmosphere till Choppy blew it up next to a Dallas Cowboys table that wanted us to leave.
All the loudness he has reserved for the most part on the tennis courts, he was dropping in that restaurant last night.
Yes.
So I'm a loud guy.
Yes. And everything was pretty good except for our initial drinks.
Holy cow.
How long you think?
I timed it, actually. I was texting Sarah when we got there, and then I said, by the way, we still haven't got our drinks. And it was about 24 minutes by the time we ordered them to when we got them.
24 minutes for round one of
for
the
round
drinks.
One.
And no apologies. All I want is an acknowledgement. That's it. So I made up my mind in leaving the tip. Pepe, I'm going with the 17% tip.
Whoa.
I thought long and hard about it, like a Portnoy pizza review, like that second number. What was it going to be? I thought 15 would have been too insulting. I'm not going standard 20. I got to let you know that you didn't do a good job, and you didn't even acknowledge it. You know, you don't even have to offer us a free round. Like, really sorry for the wait. Did not happen. Nope. Slow, dreadfully slow, record-breaking slow first drink round service. So I went with the 17%, we're always talking about tipping etiquette on this show. What do you think, Bob?
Well, here's the thing. Outside of the initial come up and talk to us, I think he came back to the table and really, like, did something. 2 times? Right?
What did he do?
No, I'm saying, like, where he came in and, like, he got the orders after the initial walk-up, and then I think he came back for one more, everybody good. Anybody need any more drinks?
We got there at 6. We got there at 6:29. That's when we sat down. And then the drinks came at 6:52. And that was, we saw him zero times in that.
So to me, it's like it wasn't like we were like really taxing his time or anything. Like it wasn't like he had to like carry like a whole bunch of like ridiculous orders or keep coming back and forth. Like he just wasn't around. So to me, it's like,
was he in the weeds? And it was he in the weeds?
And we're probably the biggest party there.
Like, yeah, and so, we were at the Stephen Jones table.
So you should get the most service. So it
was
service.
Even a 17% tip off of our bill was probably going to be the biggest tip he got of the night, and he didn't really work with us much.
I also don't like that people Venmo me. But when you're getting Venmo'd all the money and you cover it, try to figure out a better way than I did to make people include the tip in that. Because everyone just Venmo'd me their part of the bill without the tip.
Dumb. They're dumb.
So
they're dumb.
I did not like that whatsoever.
I got you tip.
Yeah, I was wondering if you were a little tight on
50
yours.
Bucks on spaghetti and one old fashioned. My bill was $36. I gave you 50. I tipped more than you did.
I gave him 94.
Good. Thank you, Choppy.
850. I admit that sounds like
I'm joking. Shut up. I'm joking. Right. You're so loud.
No.
877-881-1053.
Cheat.
Adam Schefter on how the Micah deal has gone backwards. Back inside the Star from the home of the Cowboys next.